Welcome to the 30 to Life podcast, where we break boundaries, build legacies, and help others along the way. It's your boy, Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
And welcome to another episode of the 30 to Life podcast, where we redefine the Black experience. It's been a while, guys. Not that long, maybe a month or two, but we're back with another episode, another Barbershop Talks episode. Brown, what's going on? How you living? How's life?
Yo, I am absolutely amazing. Can't complain at all. I signed up for my very first marathon, so I'm about a month and 2 days away, so I'm super excited. A little nervous, but super excited. This will be the longest that I have ever ran in my entire being as a human at one time without stopping. And my goal is just to not stop, just to keep going. And just to finish,
are you going to document this experience?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am going to bring my GoPro and I will be documenting while I run the experience. I want people to really get a firsthand of what it's like. So hopefully everything will work out the way I plan it in my head.
Well, in 2025, I will do the marathon with you next year. I'm going to start training today, so I'm good by next year. So I'm ready.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Yeah. And I have zero training. I don't run. So just be patient with me, Brown, because you'll probably be like a superstar by then. So, you know, give me some grace, my brother. So now that you've been running for, what has it been, 10 months? How long has it been since you started?
Officially, it's been over a year. I remember I started off with a mile, and I could only do a mile for like a good 20, like a good couple of months. But I would say I started recording my journey in July. So I usually say July is like when I started.
Cool. And what have you noticed different about yourself prior to July of last year and today?
Mental dexterity and mental perseverance. I was someone who liked challenges before, but now I really like them. I want to see how far I could go. And but I say the mental dexterity, you know, I think it makes you mentally stronger when you run.
So you also mentioned in a couple episodes that you lost weight a few times. As far as like health, like how do you feel from that perspective?
I mean, obviously you feel like you have more energy. You lose weight if you have a pretty decent diet. I mean, you can have a bad diet and run a lot and you'll still lose weight. I think just the biggest thing is nerve. Like I'm able to regulate my nervous system a little better. Like I notice that if I'm in instances that are high stress, I'm able to regulate the stress a little better. That's why I think it's really good for your mind. If you're someone who's like anxious or has like anxiety or depression or like some type of nervous system dysregularity, I think running really, really will help you center yourself. So I say that's the biggest biological and I guess emotional benefit.
Okay, cool. I love it. Love the progress. I need to get on the workout train. So slowly but surely.
Yeah, you're gonna see that you're gonna have more energy for your kids. that's it's clutch with that, man. It's clutch. It's like LeBron fourth quarter, you know, or Kobe fourth quarter. You give that's what it's like, bro.
Well, I run to catch the train three times a week, so you know that. I know I could do short instances of like half a mile, really, really quick, and not fall over. So I think I'm starting on a good stepping stone.
Yes, sir. My daughter, like she's in high school, and I was like, man, like you know, a couple more years, hopefully, you know, maybe when she's 21, she'll start dating. But But you know, I know that time is coming, and I'm like, you know, what would I tell? What do I? I do tell her about guys now, and I kind of like, you know, obviously I get a little bit more explicit as she's gotten older. But you know, some of the things that I tell her, I kind of wanted to talk to you about, and I know you have a daughter, and you know, one day yes. you'll be in my shoes. You know, she'll go for her first dance.
No, I'm already stressing about it now, just thinking about it. Like, I'll be like, dag, a decade from now, I gotta start thinking about this. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I'm just like, how do you deal with it? Like, with the idea of dating, it's just like foreign to me. So, yeah, I've been thinking about it. I don't know. I just feel like it's just makes me sad.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you, I mean, you're in preteen, teenage years. So I know you're just, oh, man. You know, I don't even know what to say.
I say it really hit me when she said that she had like a crush on, Michael B. Jordan, because she was like, yo, she was like, let's watch Creed 3. And I was like, why you want to watch Creed 3 so bad? Because she said, Michael B. Jordan's in it. I said, why do you care about Michael B. Jordan? She said, he is handsome. I said, oh my God. I said, oh my God, I wasn't ready. And you know, I'm still not there yet, but I guess I'm accepting the fact that one day my daughter is going to go out on a date. And that one day I'm going to have to practice some, obviously some emotional restraint, because, you know, I'm not going to be happy about it. But it's something that's necessary, you know, it's necessary. And she's a human just like I was, well, I am rather. And yeah,
you've transcended now. So that brings me to, like, what advice, like, you know, not to your daughter now, right, but like just sage like advice that you would give to your daughter in the future, right, when she's, let's call it 18, 21, like, what advice would you give her about dating, about finding a partner, that, you know, let's just the top five, like, things you would want to tell your daughter about that.
I mean, there's a bunch that I tell her now.
Yeah.
I talk to her about like how boys are right now. Like, I try to, without going too much into details, but I try to keep it 100% at the same time, yeah, about how teenage boys, like, she's 14, so mm-hmm. I try to tell her how 14, 15, 16 year old boys are like, because I tell her who I was like, and I'm like, boys only want one thing right now. Like, they don't even know how to control it. Yes, they want friends and all that stuff, but when it comes to attractive young ladies, you know, their mind is in one area. And I know, because I know, because I was there. And it's just something biologically that happens to us all. And you know, so I try to tell her that essentially, boys will be boys until they become mature enough to be able to manage their hormones, right? And that comes with practice, that comes with time. And I don't think teenage boys typically have that self-restraint for the most part, unless they know that they're going to have like some dire consequences later. Like, you know, it's a conversation that I constantly have with her. You know, I tell her that, you know, maturity takes time in guys, and women might be a lot more mature sooner than men, but you know, it will come a time where some men should be able to control that inner hormonal teenage boy.
yes, dang, like, I'm just like, high school is like just so like foreign, and like, oh man. So I'm just gonna skip over high school because that's like let's for advice, I think a lot of things that I think men in general are taught, right, is to have like a gift of gab or game or being able to articulate ways to get girls to maybe like them, right? And one thing I want my daughter to learn is that, you know, never judge or trust a man, boy, teenager, whatever, based upon their words only. They always have to be backed up with actions. And if the actions do not match the words, then that person does not deserve your time or your presence. So always judge the actions along with the words, right? Because I think, you know, you hear a lot of times, like, he said he liked me, or he said he loved me, or he said this, right? And then you ask questions like, oh, just give me examples of like things that he did that showed that he liked you, right? And, you know, you may be not be able to come up with those list of things. And it'd be like, it's not just the words alone, right? It's not how many times they may say, hey, you're beautiful, or I love you, or I like you so much, or you're the best woman on earth, but it's more of like, what are the actions to show that he likes you, right? What is the levels of respect that you're receiving? And being able to identify or pick up as soon as possible if someone is maybe a liar or just saying things to get what they ultimately want, or they're just not a good person in general, and be able to quickly identify that and remove that person from their presence, their life, so on and so forth, and focus on people who actions match their words.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely correct. A lot of guys, you know, including myself, including you, you know, we knew what to say and how to say it and when to say it, you know, and, you know, we get kind of good at that after a while. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And you kind of look for certain women that will be able to kind of gravitate towards your words more than others, and so it becomes a game almost, and that's what I kind of want to teach my daughter. Well, I kind of do teach my daughter, but I don't know if it's actually sticking. But it really becomes, it's almost like a challenge for us. It's like the thrill of the hunt, and I don't want my daughter to be just the thrill of the hunt. I want whoever ultimately winds up with her, I want them to love her for who she is.
Yes.
Not just absolutely, because of, you know, it's a game. And for a lot of us, it's a game, like I mentioned. So how do you know when it's a game versus when it's not a game? And I don't think that you ever truly know. But like you said, actions. I think another thing is how are they when you have a disagreement? How are they when they're upset with you and you're upset with them? How are you and him when there's a disagreement? I think how he ultimately treats you when he's disagreeing with you or upset with you says a lot. It says that if he does it in a way that he respects you, that means that he respects you. And if he does it in a way where he disrespects you, let's say he calls you out your name or whatever, like all that is unacceptable, and that means that he disrespects you. I absolutely agree with you. I think actions, like I mentioned, the emotions, when both of you are emotional, how you treat each other is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Yeah, it's really important how they respect you, right? And I think one of the things that's important to me is how my daughter sees me interact with my wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How I am consistently treating her. And as my daughter gets older, because right now she's 4, you know, making sure she understands, like, this is how a man treats a woman, right? Not, yeah. because she'll see the actions, but I also want to make sure it is consistently and constantly imprinted on her that the way I treat her mom is the way that a man should ultimately treat you. Because it's important that it's cemented in her brain, right? So that's going to be every year on year, right? She's seeing it now at a younger age, but as she get older, I want to, like, you know, articulate it, explain it to her a little bit more. And to piggyback with that, you talked about, like, how the respect part of it. One thing very important to me is to emphasize and promote and instill in my daughter, like, confidence and having a high level of self-esteem.
Definitely.
Embedding that in her DNA, knowing that she is, you know, beautiful, that she's smart, that she's gifted, and that she is an amazing individual, right? And I don't want, you know, any man or any individual in general, right, to be able to take her self-esteem away from her, right? And that's something that I have to also constantly reinforce, that I'm proud of her, that she's gifted, that she's beautiful, that she is smart, that she's all of these things, and cementing and emphasizing that every day as well, right? Because another thing that some men focus on is finding women who lack self-esteem, right? So, you know, I want her to know that regardless if a man's, if she's dating him, they have a boyfriend or whatever the case may be, that the man doesn't, you know, give her self-esteem, right? She already has that self-esteem.
Self-esteem is everything, and that's part of being a whole person. And I think ultimately, before you settle down with somebody, you have to I think you have to be a whole person. You shouldn't be a half a person coming together with another half a person to make a whole. Like, you need to be whole individually. Mm-hmm. And essentially, self-esteem is a huge part of that. And I think self-esteem is something that develops over time. And I think that as parents, you have to be able to instill self-esteem in your child early. So by the time they do get to the point of where they're dating somebody, that you're right, they don't have this hold over them because of their low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So everything that you mentioned, you know, I think is absolutely correct. Especially the part about, you know, the beauty aspect and making sure that your daughter feels beautiful, because a lot of girls, even from my experience, like, you tell them they're beautiful, like, they love that. And it becomes, I guess,
it's this, a part of that game, a part of that, you know, gift of gab, like, yeah, you know, you attention, right? I think that's kind of what I was getting on, like we're in the social media era, like, seeking attention from others. I want her to believe in herself all the time, not need that external validation constantly, right? Obviously, we all need it in some aspects, whether that's, you know, getting a promotion at your job, your wife telling you that, you know, they love you and all these different things, but it's not like a constant need from strangers or from men or from, like, just everyone all the time, when it's just more of like, it's an inner thing where, you know, you have this pride, right? This high level of self-esteem that, you know, you're capable of anything and no one's going to stop you and hear me raw type of philosophy.
Yeah, right. And believe it or not, like, the men that are looking for a quality woman, someone that is beyond beauty, beyond sexual appeal, they want a woman that is confident. They want a woman that has those qualities that you mentioned. Those are the women that you bring home to mom and to meet your family. You don't bring home the other type of women, the ones that, you know, we're going to call them promiscuous women or women that are easy. I've had that conversation with my daughter. Like, I've explained the difference between a woman that a guy wants to bring home versus a woman that a guy just wants to, you know, just experience for the moment. And I want to really reiterate that to any of the young girls listening to the show right now. You know, men know the difference, and how he treats you is basically how he's going to interact with you, versus if he's going to bring you to his mom or if he's going to just keep you a secret. You know, like, so if he's not bringing you to his family for whatever reason, you've been talking for a while, there's a reason. He might be looking at you as someone who isn't worthy to meet my mom or my parents, versus someone who he is going to bring because he sees those qualities. And yeah, those qualities are important for us if we want to bring you home to mom.
Yep. Yes. Very true. Agree with those points. And then you mentioned what guys may be looking for, but I want my daughter to focus on the important qualities of a man and not some of the superficial ones that sometimes we can get caught up with, right?
Ooh, like this could be good.
They're over 6 feet tall, yeah. Or you know, muscles, or how popular they are, you know, some of the things that don't really matter, you know, when you're trying to like really be in a committed relationship, right? You know, it's nice to have, right? Nice to have someone who's 6 feet and all this other stuff. But if you're like, if you're 5'4", like, you don't need to be with someone 6 feet. You could be with someone like 5'8", 5'9", like, put your heels on, you're still good. So it's like, those are like superficial things that you don't necessarily need. So it's like, focus on the things like how he treats his family, how he treats his mom and his dad. Like, you know, are they ambitious, right? Do they, you know, believe in God? Like, do they are hardworking? Are they respectful, right? All of these like great qualities that you need to focus on, right? And that's very important that you start focusing those the earlier, the better, right? Some people will ignore those, right, and care more about the superficial stuff through their 20s or 30s. And then when they really want those qualities, you know, those guys were overlooked, right? So I think it's important to focus on the character of the man, right, and make that things that you value.
Do you think looks should hold any weight at all, like appearance or attractiveness?
Oh, of course they play a component, but I think a lot of people would overvalue like the looks alone, right?
Right.
So it just needs, obviously you want to have some level of attraction, but don't let that be the end all be all, or just because the person is attractive or you're really attractive, you don't care about the other things, right? Like, are they respectful? Do they love God? Do they love their parents? Are they smart? Do they have goals? Do they want a family in the future? Like, all of these things that are so important, that you know, sometimes they get overlooked.
Yeah,
men and women, right? And I think it's important that, you know, you follow on the actual character of that individual.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Obviously attraction is important, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. For you, it's important. For me, it's important. I mean, for everyone, it's important, right? And it's just more of like, don't let that be the number one factor on you deciding, right, on if you want to be with someone.
Yeah. See, I think a big part for me is for my daughter to understand the mind of a man as best as she possibly can, even though, like, you know, that's obviously impossible. She'll never fully understand the mind of a man because she's not a man. However, I think as best as possible. And I say that because men are extremely visual creatures, especially when they're younger. And in this day and age with Instagram and social media and TikTok and all these very beautiful, perfect bodied women out there, it's just men in general at this point in life, in this culture and society, are very, very visual. And that could be a very difficult thing for women.
I just think social media in general, like, it has, you know, it has lowered self-esteem for, you know, individuals across the board. But
yeah,
specifically a woman when it comes to the visual part of it, right? It's like, you know, we see it now with maybe like the BBLs and stuff, like the, you know, pursuit of like the perfect body, right? And if you don't have it, you have like, you know, FOMO, or like you just feel like, you know, you're less than, and if you don't have this, you know, perfect body, then like you're, you know, the bottom of the barrel and stuff like that. But I think also like, you know, my daughter know that social media isn't real, right? Like it's not real. It's like a highlights, false representation of what real life is. And but to your point, like for guys, right? Like their expectations, right? Because, you know, it's all algorithm based. You know, they just see all these, you know, perfect bodies, and they're like, okay, you know, may treat women or not even understand like what a real woman is. Because they focus on, you know, the virtual reality, the social media of it.
Yeah, yeah. I like what you said, because even though, like, I've always heard the veil that social media has over what reality is, I never really thought about it as, like, TV. Like, you know how when your parents say TV's not real? Like, social media is not real. Like, TV's, that is so true. It's not real. You see all of these women who, I mean, they're beautiful, but I bet they don't look like that in person. I bet they don't look like that in person. And I guarantee they don't look like that all the time, all day. And yeah, it's social media is a lot of unrealistic expectations that can make it very difficult to have a daughter. And you know, I mean, I just think about like makeup, like teenagers wearing makeup, like they don't need makeup. Like why y'all wearing makeup? And I just never, like they're wearing makeup at my daughter's high school, brother. Like
the only time girls had makeup was like for prom. That was it. That was it when we was in high school.
No, this is an everyday thing, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Everyday. Like it is insane.
The times have just changed. It's like extremely, extremely. To a point where it's sad, and you know it's difficult raising a daughter. I mean, it's difficult raising kids, but in terms of daughters and with social media and makeup and the things that they're wearing nowadays, like yo, like I'm at my daughter's track meets and I'm like looking at these girls and I'm like yo, like there's no way I'd let my daughter walk out the house like this. Like there's no way. Like I don't care if you're playing a sport, you gotta wear some longer shorts. Like you shouldn't like have certain things hanging out. My humblest opinion. I mean, even as like an Olympic athlete, you shouldn't be having to hang out, but especially as a 13, 14, 15, 16 year old, 17 year old kid, the times have changed. It's tough now. And how do you raise a daughter in this society, in this culture, and they be unscathed? It's scary, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely tough. You know, the social media thing really like changed everything for everybody's way of life. But yeah, it's just very interesting. All right, you was mentioning about makeup, and I was like, makeup. You know what makeup used to be for young teenagers or teenagers? Vaseline. That's what you put on there. Make your face shiny. Like,
or they had them little lip balm
and some chapstick. Lip gloss and some Vaseline. Yeah. You know, that was it. Like, but now, yeah, that's changed. So,
me to Sephora.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm gonna try to hold the Vaseline. That's what my daughter be doing now. So, you know, that's keep it for like till she 18. One thing I wanted to add to the things I wanted advice for my daughter was like be clear on your expectations. You know, sometimes when you're dating, I think we all have been a part of that. It's like just winging it or going with the flow, right? And I think it's very important to be clear on what you're looking for often, right? And not settling for maybe situations that you aren't looking to be in. And also staying firm on those decisions if it doesn't go or are aligned with the values that you have or the expectations that you have for whatever relationship that you're in.
I believe you have to know where you're going in order to get there. And that goes for relationships as well. So if you don't know the type of person that you want, then you're going to keep winging it, right? But now also before you do that, though, you have to know yourself. And I think that's part of the whole be a whole person before you actually settle down with somebody. If you haven't done the work on yourself, I don't think that you're going to be doing yourself or the other person a service. And, you know, part of a union is to unite, to build a better life, to build a great life. But you can't do that if you don't know who you are. You don't know yourself. I believe that before you actually settle down with somebody, you have to know yourself. And then you have to get to the point where, all right, once you know yourself, then you got to get to know the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And that's where you need those clear expectations. You need that understanding of what you want. And then once you have that, I think you're good to go, because you know who you are, you know who you married, and then you know how to essentially move throughout life's challenges. You know, people say, I know everybody's marriage is different, but people say the first couple of years of marriage is tough. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had that experience. I mean, I don't think you've had that experience. Yeah, there have been tough situations, but I mean, I think that we spent enough time. Well, I know I can speak for myself. I spent enough time learning who I was. And then, you know, I spent a long time getting to know my wife before I was like, all right, you know, this is somebody that I could spend the rest of my life with. Of course, after having like a couple of situations where, you know, I thought somebody I was, but, you know, I learned progressively, all right, this was a better decision. This was a better choice. This was, you know, for me. But I couldn't get there until I knew myself. So ultimately what I'm saying is you have to help your daughter. Fathers, mothers, I think fathers definitely, though, in this situation, in this conversation, fathers really have to help their daughters learn who they are and help them find their voice of confidence and self-esteem. I think the father's role in this conversation is extremely important, because we can give them or provide them the male's perspective, something that that their moms can't. And the male's perspective is extremely important when it comes to settling down with somebody if you plan to marry a man. And men these days, we have our own set of issues. We have our own sets of challenges. And I think that the conversations that you have with your daughter will help her better understand him, and help her move around in her relationship.
Agreed, right? The father's responsibility is to instill that as much as possible. And if you do that right, then I believe and I hope that my daughter is comfortable to use me as a barometer, filter, guard dog, TSA, background check, everything for, you know, if she does date someone, she's like, Dad, I would like you to meet him or something like that, right? Or invite me if they're going to like a sporting event. It's like, oh, you should come too, you should meet him or anything like that, where she's like, yeah, I want to make sure that that you like him before I decide on, you know, get more serious this person or something like that, right? So, you know, I'm the person to be the second eye, right? Or, you know, her uncle or whatever the case may be, but me being that person to help cement like some of her decisions that she'll make in terms of stuff. Like, oh yeah, you know, because, you know, sometimes we just have that sixth sense. We could feel like, oh, this person, yeah, I just know this person, right? It's kind of like how like our moms, right, for our wives was like, oh, I like this person, oh, I love this person, right? She's great for you or anything like that. The same on the father's side, right? With the daughter, right? Being that person to be the, you know, the person who clears that person for, you know, to continue dating or get married or the case may be. And it's one thing I wanted to say about it. Oh yeah, so back in the day, right? Remember when you would get like a girl's phone number?
Yeah.
And you would call the house and like the father would pick up and you would have to introduce yourself to the father and he may ask you, oh, hey, why you want to talk to her? That used to be normal. There always was some like layers of like a father like being the protector and making sure that you were a decent young man. She's like, they'll be like, hey, young man, like, why you want to talk to my daughter? What school you go to?
Are you going
to college or whatever? I'm thinking of high school. It's like, yeah, of course, you know, blah, 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 blah.
You,
I think we kind of gone away that as a society, right? Yeah, exactly. There was only one phone. So, you know, the phone bills used to be a lot, right? Like somebody call you from the city over, that was long distance, right? Like, so it's like,
call all times of night. Oh, man.
See, that's technology, because how only in one phone like calls you to be like, oh man, yeah, if you call, you know, you gotta talk to my dad and you gotta let him know, blah blah blah. And you couldn't talk on the phone till 4 a.m. You couldn't text at 4 a.m. because it only was one cell phone. One house phone, right? And you know, if you're lucky, it was cordless, but yeah, you couldn't get away as much. So there was always some levels of security, I guess you want to say. That's what I hope that I'm involved with the men that my daughter will date in the future, or man.
Yeah, I hope you're involved too. I say my situation is my daughter is very embarrassed to talk to me about these type of things, no matter how much I try. It's like pulling teeth. So I'm saying good luck now. Hopefully you don't have what the situation that I have.
Oh,
it's rough. A teenage daughter is not easy, I must say.
Wait, so do you have anxiety and stuff like from it, like, or is it like you've like accepted the reality of it? As you mentioned earlier, she's a human being. Like, this is what every human has to go through. And
that exactly is it. It's not easy at all, like I mentioned earlier, but it's something that I'm learning that about fatherhood and about being a man and a father. And you know, we got to take these licks, and we no matter how much it pains us, no matter how much it hurts us, we got to take these licks and keep going. And you know, show her that you know, we're strong men that they always thought we were, and that they're just getting older. It's something that you gotta swallow, man. And I'm swallowing it still. It's something that you gotta swallow.
But yeah, no, I agree. You know, I think my POV is just to, you know, instill these values, instill these values that she also want to have in her future partner. Want her to have a high level of esteem, self-esteem, and I want her to know that like a relationship, right, is built on like trust, right, honesty, right, respect, communication, right, and ultimately like support and love, right, and just focusing on those things is so important, right? The character of that individual. And I want her to be able to come to me for anything. I just want, you know, the best for her. I know you want the same for your daughter. So, and as I said, my daughter is very, very young. So it's nothing that is coming soon, but I think about it now. I'm just like, how do dads do this? Right? He's like, how do dads do this and everything? So all I could do is be the best father and also be the best husband to my wife, so she can see what a true representation of love is and how a man should treat a woman. Yeah. And then for me to raise her to be a strong, black, independent. No, I'm just playing. Because you get too independent, it's like, I don't need no man. But have her level of independence, right? But also understand life, understand qualities, the important qualities that's needed to have a long-lasting relationship, right? And I'll just be there for her.
Yeah. One last thing I like to add is, you know, the people, the friends that our daughters have are very important.
Missed that one.
Whether it's like male friends or female friends, the people that you hang out with, you know, they're gonna have a lot of influence on you. And you know, I've been that's something that I've been telling my daughter for the past couple of weeks now, and I've been reminding her, because I was trying to ask her about who her friends are and what her friends do, and what her friends do is very important to me. Like, is she hanging out with friends that have after school activities or are part of clubs, or do they just go home? And I don't really like her talking to the friends that just go home. Like, I want her to have friends that are actually doing stuff. And she has a wide variety of friends, which I like, but I'm very mindful about the friends that she spends the most time with.
Yeah.
It's very, very important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The peers. That is very, very important. Yes. So how do you police you mentioned the ones who, like, don't have, like, daily curriculum, daily activities scheduled from them through their parents. How do you police that, right? Especially if they love or rarely close with that friend. Like,
yeah. Keep her busy. Keep her busy. Like, that's just the best way to do it, man. Like, you got priorities. You got competing priorities. So, you know, you don't have time to spend with all these people because you got work to do.
So, yeah. Keep her busy, and you're busy as well.
You got to do, man. Like that. That's at least that's what I'm finding out that I have to do. Maybe you'll come up with something different, but I mean,
I do think, like, if you look at, like, success, right? I know we're talking about dating, but like success for your children, right? Mm-hmm. You have to plan everything for them, right? And get them on the path to be successful, right? And they may hate it now, but when they get older, they will love it, right? And you try to think of the things that maybe you missed when you were growing up that would have just helped you get to the next level much faster. These are the things, right? Being busy, right? And busy in the sense, like, you know, she run playing a sport, or she's learning the language, or doing math, or, you know, doing extra tutoring, or, you know, competing in, you know, computer programs and stuff like that. You know, like we did when we were younger. I think that's really important, right? And the peer thing is crucial, right? That's up there too, right? Because, you know, a lot of times you move similarly to, like, you know, your closest, the people you're around a lot, right? Yeah. You pick up things and stuff like that. So that peer group is also a very important place of it as well, right?
So when you're dating, like, what is this guy doing with his life? Like, is he someone who's just sitting home, you know, going to school or whatever? Like, what is his 5-year plan? Like, if a man doesn't know where he's going, then, you know, I probably won't like him for her. Like, I need whoever she ends up with to know what he wants out of life and where he's going, because ultimately she's gonna have to go with him if she stays with him. So where is my daughter going?
Like, that's like, true. That's
yeah,
true.
Like, you gotta, yeah, yeah.
That is true. That's true. 100%. Like it. Yeah. And I think lastly, I think I mentioned it throughout this whole thing, but I think the qualities, right, that I have, right, that she views, right, ultimately you want your daughter to look for a man that have those same qualities, right? Obviously none of us are perfect, but the main ones, right, the someone who you can depend on, someone who you can trust, someone who loves you, someone who supports you, someone who believes in you, someone who pushes you, right? Those qualities that, like, we're giving our daughters now, right? Make sure that a man is doing the same, right? They shouldn't be doing the opposite in any of these areas, right? And the quicker they're able to pick this up, the quicker they're able to understand and filter out or have discernment, right? That's one thing that I want my daughter to have, is discernment, right? When it comes to dating, understand, like, the guys who really are for you or the ones who just are looking to use you or misuse you in a lot of ways. So having discernment and looking for those qualities that are important is something that I want my daughter to have and believe in and follow.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Yep. Sounds good. Well, yeah. This has been a barbershop episode. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Good conversations. Love it.
Good combo.
Good people.
Absolutely.
30 to life. And with that, it's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world.
And this is the 30 to Life podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. Continue redefining the Black experience. And shout out to my daughter. I love you.
Yes, sir.
Peace. Peace.